Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 51. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relationships with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman, who was labeled unable to conceive, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary got up and hurried to a city in Judea Highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women and has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promise he made to her." Mary said, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God, my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone, from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Advent is a time of preparation. Far from the anticipation of presents under a tree, we long for something else, something more. As people of faith, we journey alongside those ancient travelers seeking miracles. We seek hope, peace, joy, and love. This Advent season, we long for the miracle of new life in Emmanuel. We long for the light of the world.
Let me begin this morning by saying, don't worry, I'm not going to ask any of you to give me a piece of your clothing. That part of the service is over. And also, to let you know, I know that the title is The Promise of Potential, and that's because that is the title of the chapter that we're on in Light of the World. But I have to say you'll hear this in the story here that I'm about to tell you, that God changed the sermon title on Thursday night for me. So instead of the promise of potential, it is Mary, did you know? Okay, so I'll just let you know that. I'm going to tell you a funny story right off the bat. The choir has already heard this, so I've already embarrassed myself in front of some of you. Now I'm going to do it in front of everybody. When I was little, probably 3 or 4 years old, I completely misheard the lyrics to Go Tell It on the Mountain. You all know the lyrics, right? Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. This is where I misheard it. I ran around singing that Jesus Christ is bored. And my mom reminds me of that every single Christmas. She'll be like, do you remember the time that you thought Jesus was bored? And that's what that song was about. But it made perfect sense to my little 3-4-year-old mind. What I figured was Jesus is, I would see this image, Jesus is at a farm. He doesn't have a TV, right? And so he must be bored, and that's why the three wise men brought him presents, just like we do on Christmas. He needed some toys because he was bored. That made perfect sense to me, right? Perfect sense. Has anyone else ever misheard lyrics of a song that you're willing to admit to and want to... If you want to tell it, you can. If not, I've got another funny one. All right. Oh, well, that was almost a different kind of service. We almost got Pentecostal up in here. All right. Who has? Oh, yes. Here we go.
I actually have two of children that misheard the lyrics, and they're my niece's daughters. And the first one said to her grandmother, they had gone to church and sang carols, and she said, Grandma, did you know there's two angels? And my sister said, okay. And she said, there's a boy and a girl. And she said, well, how do you know that? And Maggie said, well, the boy's name is Harold. And the girl's name is Gloria.
Nice. I love it. I love it.
But then her younger daughter, Leah, was in preschool. And it was a Christian preschool. And they had a nativity scene. And every day the children would take turns playing a different part. But Leah never volunteered. And finally the teacher said, Leah, it's your turn. Do you want to be Mary? No. Angel? No. She went through the whole thing. And she said, well, then just go do. You be what you want to be. So Leah got in the manger scene and started crawling around going, roar, roar, roar. And the teacher said, well, Leah, what are you? And she said, lion in the manger.
I love this. Someone else had their hands raised, I believe. Okay.
When I was a small child, on the first row of the balcony, same place every week, I heard that they wanted people to support the church with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, and their service. And I was really excited, and I said, Mom, presents and gifts, where?
Right?
Prayers, presents, gifts, and service. I was ready to volunteer to receive.
Amen. Yes. All right, last one.
Mine's not a Christmas song, nor is it about anything with church, but I have relearned a song wrong because of my mother-in-law, and she's just the sweetest person in the world. She thought the song More Than a Woman was four-letter woman. And so now, whenever I hear that song, I just have to sing, four-letter woman. Four-letter woman to me.
Oh, my goodness. So we're calling out mother-in-laws this Sunday. Yeah, see, songs, we love songs, and sometimes, though, we can mishear and incorrectly sing the lyrics to those songs, and when we do that, what happens is our minds, just like it did when I was younger, make it make sense, right? Just like the lion in a manger, that made sense. There's animals. There must be another lion. I don't want to speak to how the four-letter woman made sense. But like we do that, if we mishear something, we make it make sense based on our own context clues of the song and what we know about the world around us. And as we've just discussed, it can lead to some pretty funny conclusions that are fun to share. So we're going to talk about songs today, which I think is appropriate. It seems to be a theme for this Advent, right? Last week, on the first Sunday of Advent, we read Zechariah's song, a song that he sang after the birth of his son, who would later be called John the Baptist, the preparer of the way, and the cousin of Jesus. And today, we read Mary's song, often called the Magnificat, the song she sang after she learned that she would give birth to Jesus, who would later be called Emmanuel, God with us, Son of God. And now, this is another part where I'm honest with you. I have to be honest with you that earlier this week, while preparing for the sermon, I misheard the lyrics of this song, as you do. That's easy to do, because today we read these words off of a sheet of paper, but they weren't really meant to be read. They were meant to be sung from memory. They were part of an oral tradition. Most people couldn't read or write, so the way that they heard this story was through song and drama. And we have certainly not completely let go of that tradition. Thank God. We still sing stories of our faith. In seminary, I learned that especially in the Methodist tradition, especially our tradition, which has a rich musical history, many people develop a deeper understanding of their faith through hymns than even through the reading of scripture. Now, if you don't believe me, then just come to the Christmas concert next Sunday. And then afterwards, tell me whether you would rather experience that concert or listen to a sermon of similar length. Right? Maybe don't answer that to me. You can tell Bob. We still act out the stories of our faith too. You know, through dramatic retellings, praise dance teams, our children's Christmas pageants, which I get to coordinate that chaos this year. Amen. So we haven't abandoned all those traditions, but ever since we wrote our stories on paper, sometimes we can miss the artistry in the telling of the stories. We can mishear a word or a phrase and then make it make sense according to our context, just like I did with Go Tell It on the Mountain, just like how there's two angels, Harold and Gloria with many O's. We can make it make sense in our context with what we know. So I did that in a similar way this week. So here's what happened. If you read the sermon note for this week, I won't make you raise your hand, but we'll know who read the sermon notes from our weekly journal. You'll see that I was going a particular direction. I'm a huge country music fan, and eventually, actually, one of my goals is to write a book comparing our holy scriptures to the wisdom in country songs. I know it's a stretch, but I'm going to make it work. So I was excited when in our book that we're reading, Light of the World, Amy Jill Levine says about this scripture that we read, from Mary's visit with Elizabeth, we see not only the importance of solidarity across generations between women, but also the importance of the human body, which provides its own signs of new beginnings. We see how revolutionary ideas can be given voice, not just in the university or town hall, but in the quiet hill country homes, not just by soldiers with arms or politicians with pens, but by mothers with song. Now, since I grew up in quiet hill country homes, I could relate to that. That was my context. I've been listening also to a lot of Loretta Lynn lately since she has passed, maybe because she was a favorite of my mama who lived in the mountains of North Carolina. Because I had been doing that, when I read today's scripture, I heard Loretta's voice in Elizabeth, and I heard Mary's voice in the modern artists, and I was going to try to make that work. So I heard this scripture as a duet, essentially. I heard the lyrics as back and forth between the women, and I heard it this way because I love country music, and I was listening to it. And it fit well within my context. I sat down to write the sermon, but it just wouldn't come to me. It just wouldn't happen. Now, thank God for me, I procrastinate sermons. So by Thursday evening, when I went to choir rehearsal, I still hadn't written it. Now I know that that was by design. So God bless procrastination and writer's block, because God spoke, y'all didn't know this was coming, here we go. God spoke through the choir to me on Thursday night. And I heard the lyrics of this text even more clearly. This scripture is not a duet, I learned. It is a chorus. And let me tell you about Thursday night, and don't worry, I'm not going to call anyone out personally unless you want me to. When you say something profound in front of a person writing a sermon, you're bound to hear it again from the pulpit, but I give you credit. See, next Sunday, one of our concert songs will be Mary, Did You Know? You know the lyrics, many of you do. It's a song asking Mary if she knows just how special her holy experience is and whether she knows that her son will change the world. Begins with a solo, Mary, Did You Know? And then accompanied by the choir who sings the melody. I got that right, it's the melody, right? Yes, all right. I'm going to choir remembering how to read music. So the solo and the melody back and forth. I assume that's the technical musical term, back and forth, right? Back and forth, it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. When we finished practicing that song, someone said, after the solo part, Mary, Did You Know, the choir's melody, it's like the angel Gabriel announcing the birth of Jesus. Even more so, the choir is like a chorus of angels singing in unison to Mary. I don't know about you, but there have been days that I needed a chorus of angels behind me. Especially when I'm confused or worried or just need to know that God is still with me. I'm sure Mary felt that way all the way from her home to Elizabeth's doorstep. She probably needed to hear every single voice in that choir of angels to make it through. Because what was happening to her in her body was not only holy, but revolutionary. And that's a scary thing. When she gets to Elizabeth's doorstep, I hear another solo. Elizabeth says, Mary, you are blessed. Elizabeth sang a song about revolution, a revolution to begin in a woman's body. That's very countercultural even today. See, Elizabeth and Mary, they knew that their children would change the world. But the revolution didn't start when their sons reached adulthood. This chorus that they are singing, this song, says that they knew the song of revolution was sung by them before their sons were ever even born. The revolution began in their bodies. And what better place to begin a holy revolution where the world will be turned upside down than at the site of a woman's body, a site of so much oppression and historical harm. That's the kind of holy disruption we can only get in the birth of Jesus. We'll begin actually a holy disruption series next week, and see me after church if you want to be on the email list. The site of so much oppression and harm is the site where God chose to begin a revolution. Last week, I told you I was going to recite a poem every Sunday in Advent. I'm going to recite a poem today, another piece of art, about the holy disruption of oppression, as told from the mind and body of a woman. This is entitled Stones by Brenda Vaca, who is a former United Methodist minister. A woman's hands can do the work of stones quite naturally. It shouldn't be a surprise after all this conquering. After the mind has been colonized and decolonized, it is not a simple matter after all. A woman like me has to peel away at the layers of shame and resignation. It has scabbed over the centuries, and the inclination to dance and shake a tambourine like Miriam has all but vanished. But in the quiet cold of an autumn night, my hands warm to the fire of your holy words. How natural is it to sit down and keep my mouth closed when the stones all around me threaten to cast themselves into air and scatter the words I will not speak? How many miracles to witness? How many stones will I see rolled away from tombs that urge me to run and tell? We are duped to believe we cannot partake in the telling or the rolling. A woman's hands can do the work and love it. A woman shapes psalms like masa, kneads them and makes them malleable in her hands and oh so good. She sculpts them into a thousand shapes, anoints them in prayer, and shrouds them around your beating hearts. She makes you forget the scandal of your first heartache. She strings them together and ties them around her wrists and ankles. And with bare feet dances the promise of paradise before your very eyes. You fall in love when you see her. And when she opens her mouth to speak, tiny vapors of crystals float out. Glisten, labradorite, in the sunlight of her resurrection. A chorus of angels sang a song over Mary. Elizabeth joined in the choir, and Mary gave us a song we still sing today, accompanied by some modern versions. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary says, yes, with all my heart, I glorify the Lord. Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary says, yes, he has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Yes, he shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next. Mary, did you know? Did you know when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God? Mary says, yes, I am a mother. Of course I know, in the depths of who I am. We still sing that mother's song with Mary, with all the saints, together in the choir of disciples. This Advent season, let's meditate on her words, on her lyrics, and hear them anew. Amen.